ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 नष्टप्रायशभद्रेषु
नित्यं भागवत्सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। सो टुडे वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम सेकंड कैंटो entitled The Cosmic Manifestation, chapter number 1, entitled The First Step in God Realization, text number 11. Etan nirvidyamanana
Etan nirvidyamanana
Ichyatama kuto bhayam
Ichyatama kuto bhayam
Yoginam ripa nirnitam
Yoginam ripa nirnitam
Hare namanu kirtanam. Both meanings. Etat.
Etat.
It is.
It is.
Nirvidyamananam. Of those who are completely free from all material desires. Ichchitam. Of those who are desirous of. All sorts of material enjoyment. Akutaha bhayam. Free from all doubts and fear. Yogina. Of all who are self-satisfied. Nripa. O king. Nirnitam.
Decided truth.
Hare. Of the Lord, Sri Krishna, Naam, holy name, Anu,
after someone,
always,
Kirtanam,
chanting. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by the dint of transcendental knowledge. Translation, please repeat. O King, constant chanting of the holy name
of the Lord
after the ways of the great authorities
is the doubtless and fearless way
of success for all,
including those
who are free from all material desires.
Those who are desirous of all material enjoyment,
and also those
who are self-satisfied
by dint of transcendental knowledge. Purport. There is a 2.5-page purport. Very nice one. So I'll read it. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, the persons are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less,
They are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord who neither aspire to enjoy the material world nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord, Shri Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their personal account. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotees can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied, because they want the satisfaction of the Lord only. In this verse, Sri Shukadev Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of Lord after hearing it from the authorities. This means that hearing from authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on. And thus the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Shukadev Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievement as fruitive workers, as philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs that chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be loudly done, and it should be performed offenselessly as well as recommended in the Padma Purana. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. The second offense is to see the holy names of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names, but that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others, because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord, and there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. The third offense is to neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas or spiritual masters. The fourth offense is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be non-different from him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is his holy name.
There are persons with a poor fund of knowledge who think the Lord to be an imagination of the worshipper, and therefore think His holy name to be imaginary. Such a chanter of the name of the Lord cannot achieve the desired success in the matter of chanting the holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures, it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of the sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify himself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful man before chanting the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts with a hope that his method of chanting the holy name will give him protection. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his chanting method to be equal to some material auspicious activity. There are various kinds of good works for material benefits, but the holy name and his chanting are not mere auspicious holy services. Undoubtedly, the holy name is holy service, but he should never be utilized for such purposes. Since the holy name and the Lord are of one and the same identity, one should not try to bring the holy name into the service of mankind. The idea is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is no one's servant or order supplier. Similarly, since the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord, one should not try to utilize the holy name for one's personal service. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name of the Lord about the transcendental nature of the holy name. If such instruction is imparted to an unwilling audience, the act is considered to be an offense at the feet of the holy name. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. The effect of chanting the holy name of Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for the enjoyment of one's self only. The whole materialistic world is moving under such false egoism of I and mine. But the factual effect of chanting the holy names is to become free from such misconceptions. Om Abhyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Tadamayam Tadati Svapadantitam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayase Girim Yat Kripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyarevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama So here in second canto, we have begun with the first chapter, Here Parikshit Maharaj is answering, sorry, Shukdev Goswami is answering Parikshit Maharaj's questions. Parikshit Maharaj asked that what is his duty? He's about to die, so what is the most important activity that he should perform? So Shukdev Goswami started reciting the glories of Krishna. And today's verse is very important. In this verse, Shukdev Goswami is stressing the chant about chanting the names of Lord. So one can perfect his spiritual practice by any one of these nine processes: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. So we have examples of devotees who have perfected their life by one of these processes. And we have examples of devotees who have applied two or more, or all of them, and they have perfected their life. So here in today's verse, it is stressed that chanting of holy names of Lord is very important. In this book Japa by His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu, he has mentioned this verse in the very beginning, and he has given the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So there, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he mentions that in these scriptures we hear about all these angas of bhakti, and he asks a question: What is the chief among all the angas? So then it's mentioned that three angas are the chief. That is Shravanam, Kirtanam and Smaranam. So hearing, chanting and remembering Lord. So these are the three chiefs. And among these three, chanting is the chief. And even chanting is categorized into various categories. So you can, there is chanting of the name, chanting of the pastimes, and about the qualities. So among even these, chanting of names is considered to be topmost. Why is that? Even in Prabhupada's purport, he writes that when you chant the holy name, then it will induce you to chant about his qualities and pastimes later on. So chanting of names is very important, and this is for devotees on all stages. Even devotees who are the topmost devotees, Prajavasis, they are always chanting the names of Lord. They are always saying, Krishna, Krishna, where are you? So they are always chanting name of Krishna. But their mood is totally different. But in any case, this Anukirtan is recommended according to one's own level. So whatever our level is, we can chant the holy name and we will benefit. We'll go further in our advancement. So why is Shukdev Goswami mentioning about holy name here and in other parts of Srimad Bhagavatam? Because he wants to glorify the holy name. And as we know, when we hear the glories of something, we become attracted towards that thing. Even in mundane world, we see so many examples. There are different ads. They promote so many things. They tell about the glory of that thing. So then you would like to have that thing. And more glory you know about a thing, you become more and more attached to it. So same way, Shukdev Goswami is telling us about glory of holy name, so that we will get attracted to holy name, and then finally we will get attached to it and absorbed in the holy name eventually. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for this day and age, especially recommended the chanting of holy names of Hari. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranyata. So in age of Kali there is no other way. So three times he mentions. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains about this verse, that how much stress is given on chanting. First of all, it's mentioned three times, and then there are different words which stress even more. Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Eva, He, and Kevalam. Three more words to stress that chanting is the only way for this age. So in Kali Yuga, we are actually really afflicted by these material pangs. So already we understand that we are not in our natural position, in our natural abode. Originally we belong to the spiritual world, but somehow or the other we have landed into this material world. So we are in an unknown territory. So it's very dangerous to be in an unknown territory. So sometimes when there is danger, you are trapped somewhere. So sometimes citizens are trapped, and the army or the police or the navy, they come for the rescue. They have this rescue mission. Sometime back I saw a documentary. There was terrorist attack in Mumbai, and some people were trapped in a hotel, Taj Mahal Hotel, I think. So then all the Mumbai police and various groups, security groups, they came to rescue them. So Mumbai police is considered very efficient. But so there were 9 terrorists who were there in the hotel. But still, the terrorists are very up to date these days. They have better weaponry than the police. So then they had to call the special forces, Marines and the Black Cat Commandos and different forces from other parts of India. And so they actually killed all of them. Mumbai police could kill one, and there were 9 terrorists. So 8 were killed by other commandos. So they rescued most of the people. They were foreigners who came for a holiday, but you know, they were in the midst of this disaster, this fearful situation. So same way we have come here to this material world, we thought we'll have a holiday here, but now you know we have these different dangers. Padam padam yad vipadam. Every step is a danger in the material world. So who has come for our rescue? So our rescue, there is a team which has come. It's called CSA. It's called, the full form is Chaitanya's Sankirtan Army. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to rescue all of us in this Kali Yuga, which is most dangerous time, and we are in the most dangerous place. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his associates, have come. He has come to rescue us. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, this very important verse is stated, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna Sango Pasangas Triparshadam Yagyai Kirtanai Prai Yajanti Hi Su Medasa. So Krishna Varnam, so he is always describing the glories of Lord. He is always chanting the names of Lord. And Tusha Krishnam, he is not dark. He is Krishna, but he is not blackish in color. He is golden in color. So he has come along with his parts, his plenary parts, his associates, Anga, Upanga, and Astra, all the weapons. So these main associates are two main limbs of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaita Prabhu. So, and there are other upangas, other associates, and they also act as weapons. So in the Leela, when we know Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur were trying to preach to Jagai Mathai, and one of them hit Nityananda Prabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very angry. And he wanted to kill him. He invoked his Sudarshan Chakra. But Nityananda Prabhu said, no, this is not the weapon you have to use in this age. In this age, the weapon is of Sankirtan movement. this chanting, congregational chanting of the holy name. So that Leela exhibits that how this Sankirtan army of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually rescuing all of us. If they can rescue most fallen people like Jagai and Madai, maybe they can also rescue us. So this holy name, when we chant, there are different levels of chanting and there are different levels of hearing. So chanting in itself, it's not just isolated process, just chanting. When you chant, there is hearing also. So hearing is on different levels. We may be chanting, we may chant very loudly and proper pronunciation and in various different ways we can chant. But if our hearing is not proper, the holy name won't have the effect on us. So in one lecture I heard about different levels of hearing. And that it is said, one is mental hearing. We want to hear through our mind. So what is the characteristic of material mind? That it accepts and rejects. So sometimes, we feel good, sometimes bad. So that's the flickering nature of the mind. So that's mental hearing. That I will chant when I like, or now I'm in a good mood. Now I'm in a bad mood, so I'll chant later. So that's mental chanting. And then mental hearing. And then sometimes we hear holy name with our intelligence. The holy name or glories of Lord. We want to see what realizations we got or what points we can collect. But just for material so that our bank, we have this knowledge, academic knowledge, made on the material platform. So that's not the goal. It's good to hear holy name and glories of Lord with intelligence. But the highest level of hearing is hearing with the heart, with total faith, that there is nothing else to be achieved actually. This is my life. So that's the goal actually. So the chanting is the process and it's the end in itself. So initially when we chant the holy name, it's like it's the abhideya. So we are using the holy name to attain the prayojan. But at the highest level of chanting, the chanting has become the prayojan, that this is my life. That's what I need to do. I need to chant and just I need to hear. That's it. I don't have to achieve anything else. Srila Prabhupada has written in one of the purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, he spoke about Haridas Thakur, that he was just chanting. And Prabhupada writes that he had no other business to perform. He had nothing else. That's all. He was just sitting there and chanting and hearing. So that's the highest level of chanting. And in this age especially, Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a concession. In other ages, the processes for spiritual perfection were very hard. For that age, they were suited, but for this age, we cannot perform those other processes of intense meditation for thousands of years. We don't live that much anyway. So, big temple worship, and big yajñas, we cannot perform all those processes. We perform those processes but to a minimum level, as much as required. And we focus our main energy, main all our enthusiasm in chanting the holy name. And other processes that we do to the bare minimum, we also supplement them or complement them with the chanting of holy name. So this concession is given because, as we know, this example, that disease has become very severe in Kali Yuga. So the medicine is also, it should be very effective. It's a specific medicine for a specific intense disease. So holy name is considered a great weapon of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We understand that in the pastime of Lord Balram, when he killed Romaharshan Sutta, how did Lord Balram kill Romaharshan? Is by grass, by a kusha grass. So generally we see that a grass is where, the example of grass is given to be, you know, in that situation when it, you know, we need to discuss something which is very soft, you know, trinadapi sunichena, that, you know, as humble as a blade of grass. But there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Balram used grass as the weapon and killed Romaharshan Sutta. So this is the potency of Lord Krishna, Lord Balram, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They can invest all their energies in anything they like, a grass or holy name or anything they like. So that's why this is the faith we should have, that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Naam Naam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis, that I have invested all my potencies in this holy name. So we should have faith on that statement, that if I chant the holy name, I am actually accessing all the energies of Lord, and actually I am having association of the Lord Himself. So this is the great faith that needs to be developed. So here in this purport, we see this lengthy description. Actually, it's a brief description of individual offenses that we commit against the holy name. So it is said, chanting is a very simple. Chanting is a very simple process. You chant Hare Krishna. Mantra is also not tough to learn. So what is the difficult part? The difficult part is to avoid the offenses. So that's why these mention of these offenses are there. So that's the difficult part, how to avoid these offenses. Unless and until our chanting is offenseless, it won't have the full effect. We'll have different contamination in our heart. So to avoid offenses, first we should know what are the offenses, and we have to take shelter of acharyas. So here, that's why it is mentioned Anu Kirtanam. Keshava Prabhu on Tuesday was also describing some aspects of Anu. What does Anu Kirtanam mean? So here it says Anu Kirtanam means after someone, following in footsteps of someone, or always, to chant always, Kirtaniya Sadahari. So one important thing I wanted to discuss was about what is the importance of taking shelter of Tulsi Maharani in terms of chanting Hare Krishna. We see different pastimes that when Narad Muni told Mrigari that, okay, you break your bow and stop hunting, stop killing animals, and you just go and you chant in front of Tulsi. And Haridas Thakur also instructed the prostitute, you just chant Hare Krishna, there is Tulsi Maharani. And we see it is always recommended that we chant, we pray to Tulsi Maharani and then chant Hare Krishna. So what is the importance of Tulsi Maharani in relation to chanting? One time I asked His Grace Gurujan Prabhu that, you know, I was curious to know that what is the importance of Tulsi Devi in respect of chanting. So he mentioned that Tulsi is actually very dear to Krishna. So when we are under the shelter of Tulsi Maharani, it is said actually when you touch Tulsi Devi, you water Tulsi Devi, or you sing Tulsi Kirtan, or if you get, you are under the shadow of Tulsi Devi, so you are protected. So what Gurujan Prabhu said was, when you are taking shelter of Tulsi Devi, so Krishna is there above, so he is looking for persons who are dear to him. So Tulsi Maharani is dear to him, and so when he would look at Tulsi Maharani, and if you are under the shelter of Tulsi Maharani, the glance of Krishna will fall upon you also. So that's the importance, because Tulsi Krishna prayasi. So there is this explanation given in Sri Vrinda Devi Ashtar, that Tavaiva Murtis Tulasin Riloke. That actually it is Vrinda Devi who is in the spiritual world. She has expanded as Tulsi Devi in the material world, Nriloke, this place of this place where human beings are there. So Vrinda Devi has descended as Tulsi Maharani. So in regards to offenses, these different offenses, we must take shelter of Tulsi Maharani. So there are two things, as we know, there is the sin and there is the offense. And both can be eradicated if we take shelter of Tulsi Maharani. While circumambulating Tulsi Devi, what do we say? Yani kani cha papani, Brahma hatyadi kani cha, tani tani pranishyanti pradakshina pade pade. So by each step, actually, we are counteracting all the sins. Even the greatest sin, which is considered to be killing of a brahmana, even that can be eradicated. So all the sins can be taken care of if we take shelter of Tulsi Maharani. And then in Vrinda Devi Ashtak, it's spoken about the offenses. So if we take shelter of Tulsi Maharani, all the offenses that we have committed, they will be counteracted also. So there it says, Bhaktya Vihina Aparadha Lakshay, that I have no devotion and I have performed thousands and thousands of offenses. Bhaktya Vihina Aparadha Lakshay. And Kripamayi Tvam Sharanam Prapanna. And before that, what happens when we perform the offenses, that we are forced to into these waves of sinful desires, these lust, anger, greed, all these anarthas actually overcome us. So when we say when a devotee offends, the greatest offense, the Hati Mata Aparad, is of course offending a devotee. And when someone offends a great devotee, it is said he will fall down from the bhakti process. And what happens? All the material things started; they start to look very good. So you know, so all these lust, anger, greed, it just, we are overcome by those anarthas if we offend a devotee, and of course if we do, if we perform other offenses. But there it says in Vrinda Devi Ashtak that Kripamayi Tvam Sharanam Prapanna, that I have no devotion, I have performed different offenses, but I take your shelter. And then Vrinda Devi takes care of all the offenses. And here it's mentioned that once we realize that we have committed sins, we have committed offenses, we should immediately stop all such activities, and we should repent also, and then sincerely chant the holy names of Lord. So when we chant the holy name, we have to do it very attentively. By attentive chanting, we can counteract all other offenses. So our mind, sometimes it's distracted. So we have to make our life so that we can, we have to plan every day that how can I chant better tomorrow? So what time should I be chanting? You know, some things are fixed in our schedule, that these are the things I have to perform tomorrow. So I should, you know, plan my chanting like that. And if we do that, we can very quickly, we can attain this attentive platform. And when we hear the holy name, then other aspects will be, they will be revealed to us. The naam leads to guna, rupa, guna and leela. So these pastimes of Krishna, they become very real. So it's described in third canto. There is this story given of Swayambhuva Manu. He was the Manu for his life was, life duration was for the whole Manvantara, very long life, and he was a great king, very exemplary king. And it's described when the time came, when it was the end of his life, it was said it was his life did not go in vain, because all his life he was actually hearing and chanting about the Lord. So there it says, Shinvato Dhyayato Vishnu Kurvato bruvatah katha. So consequently, although his duration of life gradually came to an end, his long life consisting of a manvantara era was not spent in vain, since he ever engaged in hearing, contemplating, writing down and chanting the pastimes of the Lord. So he was contemplating, he was always thinking about those pastimes, he was chanting the holy name, he was writing down the pastimes also, it's mentioned there. So this is our process. We chant the holy names, we chant about the glories of Krishna, we chant about the pastimes of Krishna, we hear them from the authorities, and we constantly do that, and at the end of life we'll get the perfection. So I would like to read one small song by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. There he says that that he is requesting everyone, that everyone chant Radha Krishna. Radha Krishna Bol Bol, Bolo Re Sabar. So a famous song. So there, Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, needlessly under the control of Maya, you suffer and are carried away by her waves, sometimes floating and sometimes sinking in the ocean of illusion. So sometimes we are floating, sometimes we are sinking. So this is ocean of illusion. So only reality is the holy name. There is a poem also by His Holiness Jainanand Maharaj. It tells about holy name, how this is the only real thing. So, and when you chant the holy names of Krishna, your body will shiver in ecstasy. So this is the how to know that our chanting is offenseless. Prabhupada mentions these two words, pula kashru. So when we chant offenselessly, there will be standing of hairs. So we can see that if the hairs are not standing, that means we are performing offenses. Very easy to know. We chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, hairs are not standing on end. So that means I must be performing offenses. And ashru, there should be tears in eyes. So these two tests, very easy, right? Everyone has some bodily hairs, you can note. When you chant, they should stand on end if your chanting is offenseless. So what happens is, sometimes we get ecstatic, sometimes, very rarely, in kirtan or while chanting. So that is good, that's an indication that we can do it, you know. We at least initially when we come to Krishna consciousness, everything is ecstatic, all devotees look glowing, and you know, the process looks ecstatic. But after 1 or 2 years, then we see the other qualities in our devotees and ourselves. The other things come up, these envy, lust, they come up even more. So then also we have to carefully chant the holy names. So it's good to see all those things, that now you can see bad qualities in yourself and others. That means process is working actually. Process works. So cheto darpan marjana. So heart becomes cleaner, and then you can see things very clearly. So by attentively chanting the holy name, we can see that how sweet it is. So sometimes material things look very nice. On material, everything material is actually dead. It's unattractive. But one example Prabhupada gives in third canto is like the freshly prepared food. You know, food looks very nice when it's freshly prepared, but after a few hours, it becomes stale. So in the same way, this material life looks very attractive in youth. When we are young, everything, you know, looks very attractive. But in the fag end of life, when you are old, it becomes very distasteful. In the beginning, in the youth also, actually matter is dead. If you see, you go to Google Images and type the search word human skin microscopic level. You know, just see them what the skin is actually. The youth, you know, it looks very attractive. But you see what it is actually. Just go a little deeper. It's very ugly actually. initially it looks very fresh. You know, when you see a small child, child looks very fresh and lively. But actually matter is dead. But the spiritual things are totally fresh from beginning to the end. So when our anarthas go away, all the offenses go away, then we can see the freshness of the holy name, and then we won't be able to stop chanting the holy name. And to just to conclude about this holy name, I'll read one verse. This is from this second canto itself, in 8th chapter. So it's described, when you chant the holy name, it enters through the ear and it goes to the heart. And there, on the lotus of your relationship with Krishna, everything is revealed. It says, Pravishta Karna Randrena Swanam Bhava Saroruham. Saroruham means the lotus. Dhunoti Shamalam Krishna Salilasya Yathashaya. So everything is washed away and we can see what's our relationship with Krishna. This Hare Krishna mantra is actually a Siddha mantra. Everything is locked within this mantra. So if we chant Hare Krishna, everything is revealed. That what's our real Siddha Deha, you know, what is our real position in spiritual world. Just by carefully chanting this one mantra, by following in the footsteps of great acharyas, we can attain perfection. So I'll end there and ask if you have any questions or comments on what we discussed. Hare Krishna.
When you're talking about the transcendental Sankirtan army, has it got a relationship between three medical, Ketan Mahaprabhu and the
Yes.
Arjuna's land?
Yes, yes. That's what. When it says the tree is described as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like the tree. He is also the gardener of that tree, and he is also the distributor of the fruits of that tree. So it's described that there are two main branches. They are Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu. So here in the verse that I discussed in the matter of Sankirtan army, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, Sango Pa Sanga Prapashatam. So the word is Anga. Sir Anga. So he has come, this army of rescuers have come with, he has come with the Anga. So Anga means limb. So it's also said Anga of a body, it's also another word is Amsha. So Amsha means plenary portion. So all these associates are actually plenary portions or portions of portions. So that's why, so it's linked. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaur Sivananda.